a site visit and lots of time to look everything over again. So we just want to now determine if we should allow this permit for the clearing, which has already taken place. And we're only going to be talking about just the section that's at the very top of the hill, which is within the ridge line. There were stakes that were there and a few trees left, and I don't believe that it was cut back to the boundary line with the neighboring Galaxy Hill property. There was a buffer, I believe, for some reason, but it was left uncut for maybe 10 or 20 feet. So we're just dealing with that one little strip of land at the top. I don't believe that it's maybe even an acre. I wasn't up there. I've seen it from a distance, but I didn't climb around in there to see exactly what the acreage is. But now we're here to listen to people's complaints or concerns, and so I'm going to let you tell me if you have any questions at this point, what your thoughts are and what you think the Planning Commission should do. If we should approve, or we should fine. Somebody said that we should be fining these people for cutting within a ridgeline without a permit. And above and beyond that, I guess we have to determine from a public vantage point. We're not looking at this property from anywhere else. We're looking at it from a vantage point on public road, and not from anybody else's property. The ridgeline ordinance doesn't take that into consideration. It only takes into consideration what impact on the community any kind of development within a ridgeline air conservation area, what impact it has as seen from a public vantage point on a town road, class 1, 2, or 3, and not class 4. So I just wanted to make that clear so that we all, looking at this project or this clearing and this application from that vantage point. And I think it's been determined that it's possible that you might consider a vantage point on Hewitt Hill Road, very, very faint and distant view. But the other two vantage points would be from the Pomfret Road and from the Galaxy Hill Road. And so those are the two places I think that would be fair to say. You could pick any number of places if you had them, but it really doesn't make any sense. Just picking two or one vantage point, if there's only one, is all we need to consider whether there's an undue adverse effect on this on the ridgeline, within the ridgeline area. So does anybody have any questions at this point? So, can you identify yourself so we can...
Sam Newstead. Shouldn't we know how much land was cleared that wasn't supposed to be cleared?
I think probably we could figure it out.
But that should be, should know if 1 acre, a half acre, three acres, we should know what that is.
Does anybody have that information?
Is there anyone here for the applicant?
Yes, I do believe that. Yes, yeah.
Who? Yeah. Oh, Peter.
Yes.
When did you come in?
10 minutes ago. Nope.
Yeah, snuck right in. Okay.
I was here on time.
No, you were right on time.
Yeah, good.
Peter Ballers from the Nestles. The survey doesn't depict the exact acreage, but it does depict the pretty detailed survey that was included in the application done by Bob Farnsworth, very reputable local licensed surveyor. Does show the area labeled as restoration of existing pasture land at the top of the hill. It also shows some existing screening that was left. I'm not sure how relevant and material the exact acreage is of what was cleared or not, because it's all about visual impact. And we would argue that the visual impact is minimal, given the fact that we have evidence from the forester who was present this evening, who says that basically the forest there was not a high quality forest, or the trees were not, the trees that were cleared were low quality trees that had been damaged by storm, had been damaged by disease, and it's actually an improvement to the visual aspect of the lot to have it cleared and be restored to pasture land. And that's the opinion of our professional forester. Everything was done by professionals. It wasn't done by the landowner himself, by experts in the field. And it was the opinion of our forester that this would be a very good use of the property and well in keeping with the character of the neighborhood surrounding. I'd just like to reiterate, we have basically at the due to the response from the neighbors in the last meeting, we've revoked our subdivision permit application. There's no plans at this time to improve that property. My clients are just trying to beautify the property and use it for their horses, which they do have, and it's a much better use than having a bunch of diseased trees up on the hill. Certainly more visually pleasing and aesthetically pleasing. So, but I'm not, to answer the question directly, the survey does show pretty much where the screening was left, where the restoration goes. We can figure out the acreage. We can have them do that. I'm just not sure how relevant that is. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else have any comments? Yes.
I have a question. If restoration of previously pasture land is okay to do, and the pasture land was pasture land long before the ridgeline ordinance ever came into being, how does that work?
How does what work?
I mean, if a piece of land was pasture before that ordinance passed, wouldn't it be grandfathered to be reclaimed? No matter where it was?
Well, it's like a change of use, I suppose. I mean, it was given up. It was abandoned.
Oh, and no longer pasture.
Right. It was abandoned. There was a lot of land in Pomfret that was abandoned and still is. And some people have the means to be able to clear and open it back up again and have reasons to do so. But, you know, it just was abandoned. Wasn't profitable for some reason.
Well, that's not an issue that's it.
No.
That's a good point that you mentioned, though.
So, yeah.
Again, if the board is entertaining different resolutions to this, wherever they are, if it's a resolution of a fine, it's a resolution of, you know, put back some trees, don't you have to know what the acreage is to determine what's a reasonable, I mean, let's go to extremes. If it was a 16th of an acre, that would be one issue. If it's 3 acres, that's another.
I would say if that was the case, you are probably right. But I would say for the case of determining whether that is a undue adverse visual impact effect from the critical vantage points and the distance that those vantage points are from the site, that it would be hard to determine from looking at it if you had the line up there that was a half an acre or 2 acres. You couldn't tell that from the road. So I think the purpose of this hearing is to determine if it's an undue adverse effect, and if we do determine that, and then we were to plant back some trees, obviously we would want to probably get that survey to determine exactly where it is, but I don't think it matters for the purpose of the visual.
So just so I understand, if the ridge line, wherever it is, not on this, just as an academic, if there's a ridge line and somebody, and it's on the map, and then somebody wants to cut into it to develop, they can request the planning board to review that and say, that's okay, you can do it, even though there's a line that you're not supposed to go beyond, because it's not a bit, we don't consider it as impact from the road or from wherever the vantage point is. Therefore, it's okay, and you can go into the ridge line.
You're talking about a
hypothetical
that hasn't existed, that does not exist. We're talking about this situation that has already been cut.
Yeah, so, I'm not talking in general. So if you're saying what you inferred initially was that, well, from the vantage points now, we can't determine even if it's a negative impact. So I'm saying, well, hypothetically then, if there's another piece of property and people move into the ridge line, they can then request, we'd like to move in 150 feet into the ridge line, and you can then determine that's okay because the board, say from the vantage points that we're looking at, it's not really going to be an effect, have much of an effect. So it's okay to do that, and we'll grant you that. So that's what you would do in another situation. Is that what you're saying for this situation? That the amount and how it's, even though it's in the ridgeline, what the visual impact is such that maybe we wouldn't require anything as a result of what he did, because we don't think there's an impact.
I think it depends. I think it depends on what the next situation you're talking about. Is somebody else that you're talking about going to build a house? Is he going to clear a logging road? Is he going to clear a hiking road? What is the next applicant going to do? And where is the ridgeline? So, certainly we could get the surveyor to go up there and make that specific survey, and I'll put the stakes every 20 feet apart and survey exactly where that line is, and we could walk up there and determine that.
But you
would not be able to see where that line is from any of the critical vantage points. You would not see that line unless you took some balloons and flew them up 25, 30 feet. Mm-hmm. Then you could determine exactly where that little acreage is up there. I mean, we can do that. If you think we should do that, then...
No, I'm just trying to discern what the... how sacrosanct a ridgeline is. Is it an option, or is it a guideline, or is it a rule, you can't really go into a ridgeline, or is it just a guideline? You can kind of go in if we determine that it's not of a major impact to the roads.
Well, that's what the ordinance...
To the road or from the road?
What?
To the road or from the road?
From the road.
Oh. You know, any cutting is going to be an impact. It's going to be a modification. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I know when a tree falls on my farm, and I can tell from a distance right away, because I just know. So if anybody goes up there and cuts a branch, is that's a modification. So you know, you can nitpick right down to clearing bushes on the ground and say, hey, you know, you've made a visual modification and you shouldn't be doing that. We don't want to see that happen.
No, I'm just trying to, again, if someone goes into a ridgeline, okay, is that optional for them? Is that an optional transgression of rules that the board can determine that it's okay to do that?
But you just said goes into a ridgeline. I don't understand what you mean by that.
If you were to want to clear cut or cut into a ridgeline, and you could then go to the board in the future for another property and say, we'd like to go in here, and the board can say, yes, it's okay to go into the ridgeline in this location. Okay? Then you're in, it's a kind of a can of worms, because if you allow it in that, say, in a certain area, and then you've got a neighbor, or now you've got kind of an odd shape, and you've got a neighbor who then wants to clear, and it's in a continuation of that, then where's the ridgeline? If you allow it once coming in, if you understand what I'm saying, if you come into a ridgeline, you allow it in one location. Hmm. Now, a neighbor in the future said, we'd like to go in. You allowed that one. You said it's better, the trees weren't any good, it's better this way. Then the next neighbor, what is your argument for the next neighbor who wants to do it? And then if you were to continue that logic, where is your ridgeline and what was the purpose of the ridgeline requirement?
You know, I have a question back there, but before I pass the... microphone back there. The most of these cuts and things we see in Vermont are usually forest management planned enterprises. The people are, you know, they have forestry plans. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but all conserved land must have a forestry management plan, all through a land trust. All the current use land, of which there's a lot in our town, must have a current use and state or approved forest management plan. So people do all the time cut within these ridgeline areas, and you're not even aware of it because it's hardly noticeable. But that's what the forest industry allows in this state.
Yeah,
I think what you're talking about. Wait a minute here. What I think you're talking about is just somebody helter skelter coming in and cutting a view shed. Is that what you're talking about? Or are they cutting for a building site? Or are they opening up for pasture land? Exactly what is this scenario that you're trying to paint?
I'm just trying to understand. What you're saying is that a cutting into a ridge line is not something, again, that's sacrosanct. You can do that according to a variety of situations. You can cut into a ridge line.
Cut within.
Cut within a ridge line.
You say cut into it. Cut inside or within.
Inside a ridge line. Within, you're saying that is allowed.
That's allowed, yeah.
That's allowed.
Yeah.
So
without a permit.
Without a permit.
Right. Right.
Without a permit. Right. Cut into ridge line.
Right.
So the situation here is what?
At Nassau. They cut in a ridge line and clear, not really clear cut, but they opened it up as, you know, for what we understood was for agriculture. Okay. And reclaimed. And you can use those words. Reclaim a pasture.
Liquefy.
No, I mean, you can use all kinds of words. Wait a minute, but I have a question back here first. I want to be fair because you've had your hand up.
Well, I just want to respond. The current use is a big thing, and there's just good, sound forestry practices. There are diseased trees. There are trees that are damaged by storm, and there's a much better use for the property. Your own ordinance speaks of restoration of pasture land. Part of your plan is to maintain, you know, the Pontford town plan is to maintain pasture land, maintain green spaces and things like that. It's entirely in keeping with the aesthetics of the town. But moreover, just I can understand Mr. Neustadt's point where, you know, once it starts, you can keep going. It's not the case with ridgeline. It's all about visual impact from a particular vantage point. That angle changes with every cutting. Every single cutting is different from a different vantage point. It changes drastically. So it's a case-by-case basis. Every single cutting is its own particular thing. Certain cuttings are exempt. This one wasn't because it was a substantial cutting. But we were out here getting, in good faith, getting a permit. And gosh, I would just like to just throw out there, I realize you're all concerned neighbors. So are the Nassals. They've given up their plans to build, which they have every right to do and get a permit for and subdivide. All they want to do here is make a horse pasture. This is really getting to the point, I have to say, to being over amounts of concern about what a neighbor can do, given the fact that I'd like to reiterate, you have 2-acre zoning in this zone. They have the ability to create a multi-lot subdivision if they wanted to, not in the ridge line, but certainly along Pontford Road, anything they wanted to do. At this point, I would ask you all to please be a good neighbor at this point. My clients have been good neighbors. They're doing the best they can. They've stood down on their plans for the property, which was something that was, I mentioned in the beginning, was a benign development to begin with. Please don't push this further, because it just doesn't make any sense. They're trying to create a horse pasture. Reclaim, the ordinance speaks of horse pasture. I'm not downplaying or diminishing your concerns. What I'm saying is at this point, enough is enough. Let's let them make a horse pasture out of and cut down some diseased trees that were cut down by a well-respected forester who's also a member of this board. This is just all good in the neighborhood, folks. Can we please just get beyond it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to go back to the beginning. That when I'm here representing Lydia Spitzer, she can't be here today. Let's get back to the beginning. The big concern is the lack of obtaining a permit for what was done up on the property, up Nassau property, and it's questionable whether how much was into the ridgeline of the Galaxy Hill property. I say that you have your forester, the forester who also works for Galaxy Hill and for us, which it's unfortunate that no permit, if he's on the planning commission, that that permit wasn't obtained. That's one of the crux of the whole thing. It's all very well and good to have hindsight and say, oh yes, these are wonderful people. I'm not condemning the Nassals at all. I'm just saying there are rules and procedures that are printed. You can go on the website about obtaining a permit. Where were the responsible planning commissioners and the forester when the permit, all of a sudden, it wasn't there, and now we're here looking to find out what's going to happen next. It's all well and good that he's stopped what he's doing. But that doesn't mean in 6 years or however long, I want to know what we're going to do about him not obtaining a permit.
Well,
we have to deliberate on these things. Let's get some input from the people here.
Yeah. Certainly.
I've got a follow-up. It's sort of the same question, but as I understand it, you guys have to make a determination as to whether the action took place in the ridgeline has an undue adverse effect from these various vantage points. And had he come in for a permit ahead of time, you would have had to make that determination. Here, now we're asking for a permit, retroactively, you have to make that determination. And so my question is, does it make any difference whether he cuts first and then applies for the permit, or applies for the permit and then cuts if it's approved? And if it doesn't make a difference, then what's the point of asking for a permit in this? That's the part I'm quite understanding. I get the standard, but if the standard's applied the same way before and after cutting, if that's true, and I don't know if it is, then what's the sanction for not having requested a permit when I think it's understood, I think by all, that a permit should have been requested?
Yes.
Yeah, another question. When you were speaking before, you said it was your thought was that it was for agricultural use. Mm-hmm. And then would that have made a difference if you had known at that point that there was a view by the Nassals for any development? Would that have made a difference to you?
Well, when I saw it happening, I just knew that they had always had horses. I mean, they started at the bottom of Cloudland Road and did some clearing and had pastures there for many years. Sold, left, came back, bought, and cleared again and took over a hayfield and put pastures there for horses. And I'm wondering where the horses were, but maybe, you know, getting ready to move them up. And so when the second portion was cleared, I just figured that's what they were doing. That was phase two of a project that they had, which was buying that house and having a barn. They built a barn, put up beautiful paddocks, and then hired someone to maintain everything in pristine condition. So my thinking didn't raise any alarm bells with me. Was these people had the means to be able to do a really nice job of reclaiming some junk woods. Some of the worst woods I've ever seen, and I've been through many a woods, and I always looked at that. I mean, I admired the barbed wire going around it because it's very unusual barbed wire, and it goes way back. You don't see that barbed wire, but that was had different barbed wire, so it was used as a pasture for years, and then it slowly grew up. And he's right, maybe they were diseased, maybe they weren't, but it was just young, first growth. A forest that was coming along there with just useless species, totally useless species. And so when I saw them clearing it, I thought, this is nice. They want to have more agricultural land for their horses and their horse paddocks or whatever there. So it didn't really set off any alarm bells in my book. I welcomed it personally.
And the representation now was that they've withdrawn
the subdivision, request for a subdivision.
Yeah.
And because they want to do the right thing by the neighbors, right. Does that mean that they're not going to do it next month or next year?
Who knows? I can't.
So, but they're not representing that.
More than likely they had. The neighbor, they can.
But it's not that they're saying that now, but it's, they're not representing that they will
no.
agree that they wouldn't develop in the future. Is that correct?
As long as it's below the ridge line, there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, yeah, they can't. They have to go for a major subdivision. Yeah. You have to approve it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
to back up a tiny little bit more, mm-hmm. when the alarm bells went off for me when I saw a backhoe up in there.
Yeah.
And that's when I said, oh, wait a minute here. This doesn't seem like it's going to be all agriculture, because there's a backhoe. What's it doing up in there? And it was test pits. And that's when I went, oh, okay, this is different. But they still have all the right in the world to do what they were doing at this point, except the fact that there was a little portion of it above it that was in the ridgeline. And that's when everybody started going, wait a minute, this isn't right. And so I can understand, you know, that's when things went from good to bad as far as that's concerned. But before that, they were doing everything by the book. I mean, they were clearing land, and even if it was within the ridgeline,
they were doing everything by the book, excuse me.
Well, no, they weren't. It was in the ridgeline. They didn't get a permit, right. But below that, they were doing everything by the book. As far as the regular land, but within the ridgeline. And that's when we said, wait a minute, is there any of that land cleared in the ridgeline? And that's when we determined probably it is, and so that's the beginning of the problems that they created. So.
The other point that I would like to say, and it's all well and good, it is their property, they have the right to do whatever they want. But we keep saying they clear it for the horses. We haven't seen a horse on that property since they bought the property.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Well, the fact is, when you claim that it might not matter, but you would think in 2.5 years, honestly, if they were going to...
I don't know if there's any time...
Well, there isn't any time. Let's
right.
Yeah,
right.
You're
so,
right.
You know, you can
blow. But let's go back to why wasn't there a permit.
Right. Why wasn't there a permit?
Okay,
somebody screwed
up. What are we going to do about the permit?
What do you think we should do there, Lydia?
My name is Dottie.
I'm Dottie.
Lydia, that's Dottie.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because you represent me.
Actually,
Dottie, what do you think we should do? Do you think we should stone them?
I think
them?
We all should have a discussion about that.
Good, okay. I welcome your input.
Okay, my input is there are rules and procedures that the Pomfret people long ago put in place that are not...
The ridgeline ordinance.
Ordinances.
Right.
Or procedures, permits, and reasons for permits.
Right.
Are they not to be addressed
or
adhered to?
Yeah, that's why
to?
We're here now.
Okay.
So what should we do?
All right, you talk about a fine.
Right. And how much should we fine them?
I have no idea. I'm not a lawyer.
I don't have any idea either. We've never have come across this before.
This is not a lawyer issue as to how much the fine should be.
Well, all right. What I would like to know, I don't know what should be done.
I don't either. And that's
but
what
I don't
asking.
Think they get to go free and clear.
Well, we certainly don't have to get angry within each other here. We can discuss this, you know, very logically and calmly. I just don't know what to do either. I mean, should there be a fine? We don't have any fines set up.
But that doesn't necessarily
Should we make them plant trees?
They could remediate by putting more trees in. But after something is done to say X, Y, and Z, these are why it was done.
Right.
It's already done.
Yeah, exactly.
Whether it was rotten trees or wonderfully
Right, no, it doesn't matter.
It
doesn't
matter.
It was done. Right.
I think what I would like to see addressed is the lack of obtaining a permit.
That's what we've been talking about.
Right, but you have no idea what to do.
We've gone around this a million times. Let me have a couple of minutes.
So guys, in the world of zoning and permits, let me state this very clearly. There is never, ever, ever a time when some work is not implemented prior to the issuance of a permit. Absolutely never in the world. There is planning. There is clearing. There is some work being done. What you never want to do as a policy with a town or state, federal government, or anything, is dissuade people and make people hide from coming and getting a permit because they may have begun some work by mistake. The thing to look out for is always, did they come and get a permit the minute they were told that they didn't get one? That's the important thing. Did they, in good faith, say, my bad, I'm going to go apply for a permit as soon, at the earliest possible opportunity, when they realize that there may have been a violation? That's the important thing. The time to fine is when you have just belligerent landowners who just refuse to get permits after notice and after notice after notice. I don't think it's a good policy to try to penalize people for coming forth and getting a permit, especially when we have a situation here when this particular clearing could have been chalked up to maintenance. Yes, it was a liquidation, but it could have been chalked up to reclamation and maintenance, which happens all the time. Because it was a pasture. We have proof, we have aerial photos from the 50s that it was indeed a pasture. It just, it doesn't rise to the level of being something that, that would even begin to be worthy of fining. You don't want to create that precedent within your town, because everybody will run and hide. Because again, there is never a time when some work isn't implemented before a permit is obtained. It always is there. You have surveying work. You have people getting out of the land. You have stakes put in the ground. That's work. That's work that begins, that is well prior to permits being done. The important thing is, you point out there might be a violation. Did the landowner come forth and in good faith apply for a permit at the earliest possible opportunity? In this case, absolutely yes.
I would say that because we had the meeting and there were people upset about what had happened, that the permit had not, you're the lawyer for the Nassels. This is your forte, from what I understand. So I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I actually had no idea that the clearing, honestly, I live in Reading. I would come up and inspect the properties at the time when we apply for permitting, but again, there is always some work and clearing to be done. It just so happens Pumphrey has you've got an ordinance that says you're not supposed to do any clearing and everything before a subdivision. That was a violation that we admitted to. We negated the subdivision permit. That gets rid of that violation. And there is a technical violation with the liquidation. As soon as we learned that that was a technical violation after the last meeting, we promptly removed the subdivision permit, got rid of that violation, and applied for a permit for the bridge line as soon as we knew that that was something that would need a permit at that point. And yeah, I mean, it was definitely a mistake that gets made. Do you want to penalize somebody when you act it with all due haste? Do you actually want to penalize somebody for doing that?
It's also, I have to say this, because it's ulterior motives too. And that's, and I don't know whether that's true or not, Peter. I'm not trying to, but I'm saying, in all fairness, you know, you say he's a great neighbor. He has manner, he doesn't have to go around and meet his neighbors. Or, you know, write him a letter or say, you know, this is what we're doing. I'm just saying, if you're quoting the neighborly way, that could be suspect too. All I want to say is, how much would a permit have cost? Of my understanding, it would have cost $135. Is that correct?
For the ridge line permit, yes.
Yeah.
Pomfret zoning permit fee schedule, adopted in 2010.
Right.
Ridge line fee, $100, more than $135, total $135.
Where are you going with this?
I'm saying, maybe we need to fine them $135.
He's already paid $135, so should we fine him at all? That's another question too. Yes.
Yeah. Since he was in violation, which was just mentioned, for doing work prior to getting a permit for the subdivision, but that subdivision was removed, the application. So that he doesn't have the fine for that, so that he did the work that he doesn't have now in the subdivision. But if he then did an end run around and 6 months from now asked for the subdivision again, then he would have obfuscated that penalty from before and just kind of gone around it. Well, now we got a permit for we cleared, and now we're getting away with that, and we can go in for the subdivision.
I would say that just for my information from the last hearing that we had, that I would say any work that he did as far as the subdivision, as far as I'm concerned, he didn't move any land around, he didn't do any bulldozing, he didn't do any excavating, he cleared some trees out of the ridge line, which he had every right to do, whether he did a subdivision or not, and he got a couple of test pits done to see if he could get some work in there, had a surveyor give some surveys. So I'm not sure that there was any penalty involved there, frankly. And if so, I'd like to know what.
His attorney just said that he had done something that was.
Well, I didn't see any.
He just brought forth that he had done that. Huh?
Alleged.
Yeah, it was alleged that he had done.
No, I didn't see any work up there that would reach the level of a penalty, frankly.
Well, going around that, I was getting to another point. The point I was getting to was, well, he is saying that he's not going to subdivide, that it's not his intention to subdivide at this point. And he's sorry that he went into the ridge line. Could one of the remedies be that he actually says that I will not, and puts it into the deed, he won't subdivide. And the remedy is he's giving up his right to subdivide that because of what he did. And since he's a good neighbor, he doesn't want to do it anyway. And in lieu of a fine, that's what he does.
That's borderline blackmail.
What?
That's borderline blackmail.
No, it's not. He can reject that, and you can have it.
I just say just rule that out.
Well, when he came in for the subdivision, if you remember, there was quite a bit on the table to our advantage, which is now off the table.
Yeah, it's
one was he wasn't going to develop the field in front of your house. The second was he wasn't going to develop anything in the ridge line that he cleared. So those are off the map right now.
Right at this moment.
And if I read this ordinance here, as far as the exemptions that somebody can do, clear a pasture, logging operations, cutting of firewood, wood log, sugar walk management, low brush cutting, and of all the land that he cleared, which and that last clearing, which might have been 8 to 10 acres, that there's 2 acres of the 10 that we would consider to be a violation. I don't consider that. I would consider your suggestion of a fine as somewhat onerous compared to the amount of overstepping that he did without getting a penalty.
Oh, but it might be nothing. It's actually no cost to him at all because he withdrew the plans to subdivide, so he doesn't have any plans. So it's just a formality for him since he said he's not going to do that, and you could ask for that, and then he would do it, and you would then have that pasture as pasture for the town, and it would not be developed, and it would be of no cost to him, and if he didn't plan to do that, it's an option.
Do you have a question?
I'd like to say that all this talk about punitive action, etc., is really pretty disheartening and disgusting for people who do not know Bill and Cindy Nassel. Quite frankly, if you did know Bill and Cindy Nassel, you'd consider yourselves blessed to have him on this hill. Because if this keeps going and this board decides to get punitive and fine him this and fine him that, and he pulls up stakes and leaves, the next people that come in here could easily do everything that your worst nightmares would imagine.
That's right.
He is a good neighbor. He can do anything he wants with his land. He doesn't need to deed it over to the town because he cut 2 acres of trees down. Come on, neighbors, I get it. You're his neighbors. He did something. You, if listening to it, it would sound like you thought he did it intentionally. He didn't do it intentionally. It's a dispute right now whether he even needed a permit. You had a lawyer here who's been in Pomfret, who knows these rules, who didn't think it rose to the level.
Why doesn't he now come here and tell us this?
That's his choice. You are talking as if he intentionally broke the rules. And I'm saying he didn't. It's a completely legitimate argument that he didn't need a permit at all. He's come here to ask for a permit. And I just think you better be careful what you wish for.
That's a threat.
He's a great neighbor.
We don't need to make threats, and that's not. I don't consider that a threat. I just consider that.
Well, I don't want him leaving the town. I don't want him selling his property, yeah. Lock, stock, and barrel, because I think he's a blessing to this community.
You know, along the lines of what you just mentioned, it lists the exemptions in here, and it lists them as a restoration or existing pasture land or meadows, logging operations. You can list them all. They're on 5.3.5. And also, to answer your previous question, Sam, if you go to the purposes intent, it does talk about the purpose of intent of the ridgeline. But it says that providing the existing and associated activities and practice of good forest management, all cutting, does not involve a clear cut or a obvious visual modification to the forest overstory. Well, if there was 12 acres cleared or 10 acres cleared and there was two up on the top, and it could very easily be determined that that 2 acres wasn't an obvious visual impact compared to the mass that was cleared. And so, and as far as the liquidation, he took out the junk trees and left the good trees. Yeah, he didn't leave very many good trees, but he certainly left some, and they'll grow up and be bushy. So I agree with you that the intent was not there to violate this ordinance by the logger or by NASA. They went in there and it was cleared in what, a matter of a week?
If the ridge line hadn't been cut into at all,
if
the ridge line was left, would you have objected to what he did?
No, I couldn't object to it. I mean, legally, I would object personally, but not legally. I wouldn't, you know. Personally, I would prefer it not being done, but
that's affecting your outlook on this whole thing. Then, is the fact that they just did a clearing across from your house, and now it's changed everything. Even if they hadn't gone into the ridge, it still would have created a feeling of dismay on your part.
And it also affected. We're not getting into that now, but. It had an effect on the runoff onto our property, and the culvert that goes into our property from the other side. There's a lot more coming in, but you know, I thought that didn't.
Can that be mitigated?
Yeah, I assume that maybe as a good neighbor that could be mitigated, and it didn't have to go into a whole legal issue.
Yeah.
But yes. So in answer to your question, yeah. Agreeing with what you just said.
Anybody else got any? Yes.
Just a couple of points. It was mentioned earlier that the neighbors may be overreacting a bit to this issue. And I think it's helpful to remember that this came up initially in a somewhat different context, that there was preliminary work done for a house to go in and a permit for a major subdivision application. At the same time, a number of acres, both inside and outside the ridgeline, were cleared. So I think that really rang a lot of alarm bells, and this is just a follow-on to that that state of mind. I think the commission really has two core issues that before it that it should focus on. One is the undue adverse visual impact standard, which is set out in the ordinance. I think. Bill, you had mentioned the quality of the trees a few times. I don't know if that's really relevant since it's a visual impact, not a forest quality standard impact. Right. So I would think of it more as what the trees look like at a distance from whatever public highway you're considering at the time. And it's going to be a subjective question that you'll have to answer whether it's an undue adverse impact of the wedge up in the ridgeline that was cut. So that's the first issue. The second issue is what to do, if anything, about the fact that this is happening out of order and that the total clearing up in the ridgeline occurred before any visual impact permit was obtained and fines were suggested, other options were suggested. I think you should do something to acknowledge the fact that this should happen first before cutting occurred, but maybe think about what the goals of that something should be. I don't know that it needs to be punitive because it sounds like Mr. Nassel was a nice person and didn't do this intentionally, but nonetheless it was done. You're not going to say to a police officer that I slowed down when I was first told I was speeding by your laser gun, so don't give me a ticket. Something's going to happen for a deterrent, maybe for a punitive, but I think you have to think about what the next cutter in the ridgeline is going to think when they realize that they can perhaps ask for forgiveness and not permission. So does it need to be a huge overwhelming fine or forced deed over to the town? Probably not. But something should be done, I think, to acknowledge the fact that there was a requirement to seek a permit before cutting occurred and that didn't happen.
And what would you recommend?
Well, I have one point. Did he apply for a building permit?
Subdivision.
Just subdivision. You mentioned.
I mentioned preliminary work for test pits
okay.
were done. So, and I think
but no building permit was ever. I just want to make sure people understand.
No building permit was ever. I mean, I think there's a question. I don't think it's before you now, but I think there's a question of whether there should have been some permit pulled before test pits were dug as a preliminary development activity, but I think that's not on the table now. But certainly if there was cutting in the ridgeline that is not exempt, and I don't think it, I think the pastoral and restoration exemption doesn't apply here because it was a major timber cutting or an obvious modification of the overstory. So I think a permit was required, and as we know, the cutting occurred before one was granted. Right. So, just to let it pass without comment or consequence does seem to set the wrong precedent and incentive for someone else who may have land in the ridgeline they want to do something with.
And that's the big question.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, one other. I think it probably would make sense for the Planning Commission, whether in conjunction with this proceeding or in the near future, to resolve any question about what actual line, ridgeline governs the ridgeline. I think there's some confusion over whether it's the 87 or if there was some modification of the line in 2007 using more recent information that actually controls where the boundary falls. And I think there's some section here that allows the commission to make that decision on its own.
We're pretty clear on what that is. The map over here refers to what is the digital. It's from the 1987.
It was digitized in 2007 from the original
1987 map. There may be some verbiage in some of the town documents that's unclear.
Yeah.
But we'll make sure that those are clear.
It says it was corrected and updated. So it seems to me like more than just a digitization.
Well, there's the map, and that's what it says. We'll clarify.
Yeah, the survey that was done for Mr. Nassel has both the 87 and 07 line.
Right.
I just would like to make, it was suggested, make it clear what I was saying before, it was suggested that there was a quid pro quo for the land that's down that if he was given development rights above, that he wouldn't develop below, and he would put that in the deed or do something so that the acreage adjacent to Pomfret Road wouldn't be developed. So I was just suggesting before that thought he was going to do that for the benefit of it staying as a meadow instead of being developed. And while I was suggesting that since he's representing that he doesn't want to develop anymore, that he do that and the same thing for up above. That he did, I don't see it as a big punitive thing if he's not planning to do it anyway. It's what he was informally offering below, so that would just be extended to there, and that would be a benefit to the community wanting to keep more meadowlands within the town.
To be honest on that, just from my own heart, I feel he came in here offering that, and we raked him over the coals at the last meeting, and he offered that up front. And if he offers that back, that's fine. But we took that off the table by the way we acted at the last hearing, as far as I'm concerned. And so for me to bring that back on the table now, I don't feel comfortable doing that. If Mr. Nassau wants to offer that up from his side, I think we would accept that.
Absolutely not.
No need
to. That last
and a tremendous overstepping.
I might add, that's a request.
We had a couple of wins last time, and we passed up on it.
Yeah. Emily?
I think you all are forgetting a little bit when and why the Ridgeline Ordinance came into being. And most of you all here weren't here then, so, and because I'm old, and some people tell me armory, I will remind you. Down Route 4, Queechee Lakes was putting in condominiums on the ridge lines that you look over toward the golf courses and above. And they were quite unsightly at the time, at least people thought they were. And because we were close to Queechee, Pomfret was concerned, and they didn't want to see that in Pomfret. And so the basis upon which the Ridgeline Ordinance was developed and its inception was that we were trying to protect the view sheds from that kind of an assault, visual assault, through large-scale housing that would be totally unscreened. And for the most part, most of the Ridgeline requests have been house units that the Planning Commission has asked to screen in one way or another if they felt was a visual impact that was adverse. When you start talking about cutting an acre or two that has gotten into the ridgeline, sure, it's a violation. There's no question about it. Should he have gotten a permit? Sure. No question about it. That being said, personally, I think it looks great. I know for a fact, because I've cleared many pieces myself, that when you first start to clear it, it looks like a mess. And then when you get some grass growing on it, and you get it cleared, and you get it smoothed up, and in a year or two, most people don't even know that you cleared it. They forget all about it. And, you know, he's done a nice job. He wanted to put a subdivision in there, but he's not going to do that now. It doesn't look, it's green, it's not trees, it's grass, but we're really getting carried away here on a very small portion of land. And that really wasn't the purpose of the Ridgeline Ordinance in Pomfret to begin with. It was to protect the residents of Pomfret from insults, from housing that wasn't properly screened, that sat on top of hills that they found objectionable. That's why it was enacted, and this was not.
I just am thinking that he's going to subdivide it, the upstairs part there. And there's going to be two bedrooms and sewage for that amount of bedrooms. He's already ascertained that. So we're not talking about a meadowland. We're talking about a house being built up there next. Now, maybe I'm naive, but if I went in and I was drilling and getting sewage and getting lined up with water, I would say I'm applying for subdivision. So let's...
What if we asked him, and he has all the right to do that.
Yeah.
If he had not cut that little sliver of land at the top, mm-hmm. we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, he'd go for a major subdivision.
Well, yeah, we'd be there for that, but not
right.
for this.
That's right.
You understand?
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here.
So that's why I was advised not
right.
to bring that
so,
up.
So maybe we could mitigate all of this by saying, Mr. Nassel, you know, we're sorry that this happened to you, and I'm sure you're very sorry that this happened to you as well. This isn't the end of the world for Pomfret. Personally, I agree with Emily. The Ridgeline wasn't... I was a part of that Ridgeline Ordinance in the beginning. That was Bob Naylor, Bob O'Donnell, and that was because of Queechee. And all the other houses you see on ridgelines up and down this country. We didn't want to have that happen. But anyway, back to Mr. Nassel. What if we just said, look, we'd like to have you replant over a period of time, you know, that ridgeline area that he's cleared. No, I'm not saying that he has to screen it completely, but what if he were to put in 40 young maple trees or something like that to bring it back to a forest that it was sort of before? There are already trees there that are large. What if we just said, hey, come up with a planting plan and we'll be done with it? He can subdivide all he wants. That's his land. He has the right to.
Right.
Everybody in this room that owns lands has that right. So I'm gonna stand up for that right, and I'm sorry that he does want to put a little house there. It's a beautiful site for a house, but that's his right. I would not want to see him put a house or sell to somebody else a house in that land that's below you. That's beautiful meadow land or hay land, okay, crop land. You can make crops, grow grass on it. But it'd be pretty hard to do that with the piece that he's cleared. So if he were to plant a few trees up there, sure, some of you don't want to see open land like that across from your place, or maybe anywhere. I don't know, Peter, you're surrounded by it. Galaxy Hill is surrounded by
it. Bill,
let me
speak to that. I had a lot to say at the last meeting, and I was very upset with the way things proceeded. No one ever came to us and said, here's what we're doing, this is the plan, then we're here for a major subdivision. Very upset about that. I appreciate the fact that Bill and Cindy, and I wish they'd come by and talk to me someday and say hello, but I appreciate the fact that they've restored that property up there beautifully, and they continue to restore it and care for it. I'd like to take Bob and Peter, I take them at their word that the Nassels care about the area, care about the visuals, care about the neighbors. I'm very happy that they backed off. My bad, they're applying for the permit that they would have applied for. I mean, the only issue here is what conditions would you have put on that cut if we were here now before the cut had taken place? That's maybe none, maybe a little replanting, maybe you do something with the driveway so that there's not future erosion. I don't know, but I want to say that I appreciate what they've done for that property. I'm the one most affected. I'm right there. I like horses. I'm not a horse person. I like green pastures. I like forest and woodland as well. Would I have preferred, having lived there since 1977, to have nothing done on that hillside? I would. I like it the way it was. Do I mind the way it is now? To the extent it's my business, I don't. I like looking up. It's fine. It's fine. I hope that the Nassels will continue to exercise the aesthetic
stewardship
that they have. I can get into my thoughts on any building up there. That's a different story. I realize they've got legal rights, and whether I care about whether or not they put a house up there is, you know, doesn't impact their legal rights. Do I have an opinion on whether a house up there is going to affect the value of their property? That's irrelevant. I do appreciate what they've done. I appreciate we're here, and I hope, you know, I think we had a lot of reasons to be upset initially. We are beyond that. They went back to square one, did what they should have done originally. There is the question of what kind of a precedent do we set for other people in town? As well, you know, you just go ahead and come back. I don't know. Maybe you impose a fine and suspend it pending compliance with, you know, down the road with zoning ordinances. I don't know. I'm not. But I am, as the neighbor, you mentioned me. What do I think? I don't have a problem with the green field. What I have a problem with development, which brings more traffic, more noise, more dust, more visual pollution. I would have a big problem with that. But that would be the antithesis to what Bob and Peter are telling us the Nassels appreciate about this property. So let's take them at their word. Let's give them an opportunity to proceed as they're, I know they're not making promises, but they're making a good faith representation. I'm willing to take them at their word.
I have two questions. over the course of years that you all have been at this, there have been retroactive permits granted. I was just wondering how many times you think that has happened, and how many fines have ever been leveled for breaking rules, zoning laws, or having retroactive permits?
I don't know of any fines that have been levied.
Have there been any?
No. And I'm not sure that anything retroactive has... What was that? What was that?
The house on Skyline.
The house on Skyline.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That
didn't even have a building permit. Boy, that was like, oof.
That was a retroactive permit for a house?
Yeah, they
built a house without any
permit.
But then it was a permit without penalty.
Carl, that was a ZBA deal. It was within the... It was within the exempt area from the road, so it didn't affect. It was exempt from the ridgeline, but yeah, that was the only thing I can think of. Within ridgeline, I'm not sure that there's been anything that's been done that.
Okay. And did these other people, Skyline people, get a fine?
No.
I don't believe so.
No. I think it's honorable that Nassau came in to.
Yeah.
To ask for this permit and rather than just saying.
And you wonder why he's not here?
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
No, I don't either.
I'm wondering. Well, just
you wait said a minute. I'll call on you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just raise your hand and I'll call on you. So I wonder, you know, why he's not here. I don't really wonder. I know why he's not here and I don't blame him. He would have been tarred and feathered by people that just really don't want to give him half a chance. I know he's made a mistake.
But
so let's come up with a
I understand, but if he's got people representing what is, they're saying that he's a good neighbor and they're representing
right.
things.
Doesn't matter.
But you know, if that's the case, how about just talking to the neighbors? We wouldn't even be here at all if he had talked to us and said, "This is what I'm planning to do," and that would have been I'm sure that would have been the end of it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely
just
right.
At the last meeting, we had said, "Well, this is there's a lot of issues here, and we don't know what your plans are. We're not clear on that.
Yeah.
So why don't you just, instead of having the representatives representing what you just face to face, be a man, come up and say, this is what we're planning. We're sorry we did that. This is what we're planning." And I think that would have been more than reasonable.
Yeah. Usually the Vermont way, you kind of ask your neighbors, and I've been through that. I don't want to, I abhor change personally, but that's growth. You've got to have some kind of growth. But you're right, it would have been nice. I'm sorry you didn't. I've never met the man.
A couple of things just to clarify, that your question earlier, Sam, and that those lines are specific on the map. And they can be surveyed. That's there. So it's not that we take that as a joke or anything. But that is the map. I guess I just wanted to comment on a couple things. And I try to keep a lot of pastures and meadows open. But and a lot of you people haven't. I was born here in '44, and I can remember when I was. When in the 50s and 60s, this place was open, and the forest is closing in. So I applaud somebody that is willing to restore something, to be honest. Now, this particular piece here doesn't stick out as that impressive because of the Chase's Meadows and the Moore Meadows and the other Nassau Meadows. There's a lot of other meadows around here, but I fly around in my little airplane from time to time. And I'll tell you, I would be hard-pressed to find a place to land, in general, in the whole Upper Valley area. And this meadow here is huge compared to postage stamp things. And you drive up Broadbrook Road, coming up from Sharon, and those meadows are closing in. The pastures aren't there anymore, sheep aren't there, cows aren't there, nobody mows it. And there'll be trees again in 10 years. So. We do have an issue in Pomfret in trying to maintain the meadows that are open and probably encourage people to reclaim other meadows, to be honest. That's the way I look at it anyway.
Yeah, both John and I live it, you know, and it's a battle, constant battle. Everybody thinks that, you know, it's going to stay this way forever. It's not. It's going to grow in, and we're going to look like New Hampshire before long. It's you and I both joke about it. It's going to be, you choose your battles. Which field are you going to maintain? I've been down today doing that to Jerry Field's land, not even my land. I use her land, and I thought it's time to do a little something to push it back, get back to where those barbed wire laced trees are, that the original area. You had a question, I'm sorry. No, okay. You forgot it? Just wave. I'll be there for you. Anybody else? Any thoughts? Okay. I think that's it. Thank you all, then. We'll deliberate best we can. I appreciate everybody coming tonight.